Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon. This is Tom, co-publisher of Healthy Referral Newspaper in sunny Cleveland, Ohio today. And just wanted to thank everybody for making this show possible. We are Healthy Referral Newspaper and started back in 1989 to promote preventive natural health and positive news. And today's show, first of all, the music that you heard was from a wonderful, talented classical jazz violinist named Humble G, who is based here in the Cleveland area. And you can go on YouTube and find him, Humble G in Global Entertainment, extremely talented young classical jazz violinist. Had some amazing positive things that he's doing with promoting, instead of hip-hop, hip-hop concepts and peace and very positive messages. And you need to book him, just let us know or contact info@healthyreferral.com. Today we're guest. We have a Dr. Joel Kahn, who's we're waiting for him to call in shortly. And Dr. Kahn is up at Wayne State University. And his position up there, he serves as clinical professor of medicine at Wayne State University. And he's also director of, Wayne State is up in the Detroit area, by the way. He's also director of cardiac wellness at Michigan Healthcare Professionals. He's a founding member of the International Society of Integrative Metabolic Functional Cardiovascular Medicine. That's a mouthful. And he's the first physician in Michigan to be certified by the Society of Heart Attack Prevention and Eradication, and first in the world to be certified in metabolic cardiology by the University of South Florida and the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. He has a very, very outstanding book out, The Whole Heart Solution, by Dr. Kahn. Let me read a couple, since he's about to call in. We'll just read a couple excerpts here. I've read the book. Is the Holistic Heart Book, Preventive Cardiologist's Guide to Halt Heart Disease. And some very excellent things in there, which people kind of poo-poo or maybe don't get the full story when they're looking at preventing heart disease or how does it get started. And there's some great articles in his book in regards to food. And we'll just take until Dr. Kahn calls in. We'll just take a short little, I guess, tour through his book here. And a lot of the things he's introducing are basically just more of a plant-based diet, similar philosophy that Dr. Esselstein has, similar philosophy Dr. Neil Barnard has, as well as Dean Ornish, all in the same realm of a plant-based diet is the healthiest diet over time, including Colin Campbell from Cornell University, as far as the less disease around the world with a plant-based diet. He also goes into things that have to do with spices, too, and I think we have Dr. Kahn calling in here. Let me just see if I can... put him in.
Hello, Joel.
Are you on the line, Dr. Kahn?
I am excited to be here, and I'm sorry I had to answer a patient call, and then I was 2 minutes late. Sorry about that.
No problem. Patients always come first. We were just,
that's what my lawyer tells me and my mother both. So thank you.
Yes, that is true. That's why we got into this profession in the first place.
Healing and helping, absolutely. Sorry.
Yes. First of all, thanks for taking the time, and also thanks for writing a wonderful book. When your PR person sent me the book, I was very impressed with the number of things you cover that you don't normally find in a heart prevention book. So tell me we can just start out, and I read it to the audience a little bit about your background, but maybe just give us the quick 411 on your background and how this project started as far as really getting to the nitty-gritty of heart disease and what can you do to prevent it?
Yes, well, thank you. And the project began really long ago when in my own life and through medical training, I was taught that nutrition was an important part of disease prevention and disease therapy because I'd go to the medical libraries and I'd read articles that were in good, respectable journals, but I just didn't see it happening in the hospital or in most clinics. I started teaching my own patients the role of nutrition, the role of garbage food causing what's called inflammation, and healthy food we can talk about reversing inflammation. But about 3 to 4 years ago, I went back to university in the middle of a busy practice, spent a lot of weekends and a lot of nights, and got an advanced degree from the University of South Florida, and you know, really had opened my mind to a whole lot of literature I didn't know about. And so I just kind of came from a university setting and said, let's teach the public that there's amazing stuff out here. It's just not what you're hearing from doctors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned about inflammation, too, and it seems like there's to be a lot of confusion about cholesterol, inflammation. Kind of, there's all these terms that are thrown out there that the public is kind of confused on, high cholesterol, low cholesterol, LDL, HDL. There's a lot of terms floating around. Can you maybe help us straighten out and make this terminology a little easier to understand?
Yeah, well, let's start. Good question. Let's start with inflammation. You know, when you get a sliver in your finger, it turns red and swollen. It's a wonderful body process that we send white blood cells and other kind of defenders, and then a few days later your finger's good. But when you have inflammation every day, day after day, it takes a toll on the heart, on the arteries, it can take a toll on your brain. And inflammation chronically is the underlying irritant that causes arthritis and obesity and my organ, heart disease, for sure. So we're trying to lower chronic inflammation. We're looking at a lot of that coming from doctors. It's coming from junk, it's coming from additives, it's coming from coloring, it's coming maybe from genetically modified food industry has put in our chain. And there's an easy blood test, high sensitivity, C-reactive protein, or CRP. Any doctor can do it, covered by insurance. There's other ones, but that one does the job. And then cholesterol is confusing because we used to say LDL, lousy, HDL, H means happy, it's good. The one that's changed is we really are having trouble figuring out what HDL is. It's generally better to have it a little higher than lower, but now we're learning sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes it's healing, sometimes it's dangerous. So all of the cardiology that really has LDL cholesterol, and maybe even if you want to get fancy, there's advanced blood tests called LDL particle number. And if you want to avoid heart disease, you want your LDL cholesterol on the low side. You don't want it zero. You need cholesterol to make sex steroids. But you sure don't want your cholesterol 300 or 350. That is not going to be a good option to get out of Vegas for a long time.
Right. Where does, you know, is there a certain, the most common place and inflammation is detected or shows up, or can somebody tell that, I'm inflamed, I have inflammation, I better check this out? Or are there common places that inflammation exhibits itself more often than others?
Yeah, there are common external places. You might have psoriasis. That's inflammatory. You might have lupus or rheumatoid arthritis. If you've got a waistline that's over 40 inches, you almost certainly have inflammation because the fat around the belly creates a bunch of hormones that are inflammatory. But there's also internal. You can feel fine. Maybe you're a little fatigued and dragged down, and that's where you need a blood test, high sensitivity C-reactive protein or CRP. That'll tell you the story on the inside, and you can combine the two. But, yes, it's both.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you also touch on the relationship of, in which is a lot of doctors, it seems to me, miss this connection between the gut and health, the gut and heart. And can you speak or touch on that aspect of your approach?
Yeah, what is really different about my book and what I do want everybody to listen to because it's so important is, you know, the entry point to the body is the gut system, is the GI system. It's kind of like the roots of a tree. That's where you're getting everything in. And we are creating havoc in our soda pop, donuts, fried foods, and with an absence of fruit vegetables and so once you have your GI tract irritated, you're going to allow poisons and toxins in. People call that a leaky gut. And that will create that inflammation that we're talking about. And you can do, the good news is, and what everybody should understand, is you can heal that by changing your diet, getting some activity so you bring your waistline down a bit. Maybe a probiotic, eating a lot of fermented foods like sauerkraut, kimchi, and you'll put all those healthy bacteria in. But we are just learning for the heart, for the brain, for diabetes, for anxiety, for obesity, for autism, gut bacteria are key, and we're just poisoning our gut with American Western diet and lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. So you suggest a good probiotic with lots of the good bacteria to put back into the system?
Yeah, it's a multifaceted approach that includes a good quality broad probiotic that you might have to keep in your refrigerator, keep those little critters alive. There certainly are some foods that have a lot of cultures in them that I mentioned. And you want to avoid those things that upset your GI tract. You know, necessary antibiotics will be one. And foods that will be toxic to your GI tract. You know, and there's what, you know, don't buy your gas and your food in the same place. You do not want to eat gas station quality kind of food. Your body deserves better than that. And you'll have a healthy gut if you make some of those changes.
Yeah. Where do you come out on the use of digestive enzymes?
Digestive enzymes are popular because particularly as we age, our organs, our pancreas make less of them. I do find that my patients, and I think this is kind of unique, you're asking that question, people should listen. Patients of mine that as they get a little bit over 40, 45 that are using digestive enzymes have far less heartburn and seem to just have a healthier GI tract in general. So I do generally recommend that enzymes for people I'm seeing, and certainly if they're having some heartburn reflux issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are there certain types of enzymes? I know there's enzymes that help break down fat, carbohydrate, protein, but are some that you recommend more than others?
No, I do, again, similar to probiotics, a broad spectrum of enzymes. Very often has something from pineapple called bromelain in it that's very good to fight inflammation and arthritis. But there's a number of good brands that can be obtained at the Vitamin Shop online.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. And can you also talk, I know you talked in your book about some of the other types of foods and spices and things which also are anti-inflammatory. Can you also touch on some of those ideas?
Yes, spices are the simplest entry point into making your nutrition better. Today, I mean, before this radio interview is over, everybody listening can take this advice because any meal you take, from oatmeal and breakfast to a casserole or lunch, to be a salad dinner, by adding ginger, by adding allspice, by adding cloves, and the king of spices right now is turmeric, the yellow orange Indian spice, our curry powder, which has turmeric. Very highly anti-inflammatory, very highly antioxidant activity, and turmeric right now is by far the most studied spice in science. recent data for Alzheimer's disease. There's almost no Alzheimer's in regions in India where they eat a lot of turmeric, and you can actually see memory improved by adding turmeric. So I am a big fan of always having them in the ice rack out. All of them except for fine salt. This I want to be adding for fine salt here.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you'd add it to anything, whether it be salad or soup or whatever you're having, is just put it, just
right.
Add
and,
it to
you
it.
Know, this is a tip that your listeners should write down, because if you're eating the family of vegetables that are so popular now, kale, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, bok choy, when you cook them, you destroy an enzyme in them. And without that enzyme, you don't get the cancer-fighting chemicals that broccoli and these other vegetables have. This is the key. If you buy some dried mustard powder and add it on those cooked vegetables, you are adding the enzyme back in, and your broccoli becomes, again, a superhouse for cancer-fighting inflammation, or cauliflower, or bok choy, dried mustard powder, because that's of the same family. Mustard is of the called brassica or cruciferous vegetable family. You can do a little experiment right on your kitchen table and you'll get your broccoli to fight. It's amazing. You'll learn some of these tips.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's outstanding. Please give people or the listeners again, we're speaking with Dr. Khan from Wayne State University. Please give them again the title of your book and how they can get that.
Yes, it's called The Whole Heart Solution. The Whole Heart Solution. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. You can link over to my website, drjoelkhan.com, and it'll take you to the sellers. But it's out there and available. And I mean, over 6 dozen easy health tips. Things like standing in the grass, wearing shoes, is what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Years ago, we interviewed a Dr. Clapper, and I think he's out in Hawaii somewhere now. And when he was in emergency medicine, he showed a video. He took the blood of somebody an hour after they ate a hamburger. The test tube was like 80% full of fat, and it was like 1 hour after the hamburger, and that kind of like woke him up to you know to the effects of food and blood chemistry. And then years later, we also heard a lecture by Dr. Neil Barnhart, and he was talking about chicken, even lean chicken, the amount of fat that even lean meat have on the effect on the diet, too. Can you speak on some of the things that you found out about, people that are still convinced that lean this and lean that is still good, but maybe, you could give them some other tips if they want to kind of move away from the animal-based diet into a plant-based diet? What are some things they can transition into that would be a better path for them?
Yeah, I would recommend that people learn how to increase plants, decrease animals. That's a ratio that I've written about, plant-to-animal ratio. You want to go all the way, that's be 100-0. But you don't have to always do that to improve your health. You know, I'm a heart specialist, and I scoop plaque out of people's arteries and look at it. And it looks like a meal you get at a diner for, $2.99. I mean, I'm taking out what they just ate a couple weeks ago. So got to be careful what goes in. And, the U.S. food plate, I'm not speaking radical dietary changes. The U.S. food plate says, half your plate ought to be vegetables and fruits, quarter of your plate ought to be whole grains like brown rice or beans or peas or lentils. The more beans you eat, the longer you live. You've heard the joke the other way. The more beans you eat, the longer you live. And only a quarter of your plate is supposed to be protein. I mean, protein can be peas and beans and tofu and tofu, or it could be a piece of chicken or a piece of fish. But you're right. You want my friend Mark Hyman calls a qualitarian. You know, the kind of meat and the kind of chicken and the kind of fish you might pick up at a fast food restaurant is of such poor quality. I can see arteries start to malfunction 2 minutes after an Egg McMuffin. I can test that and see that 30 minutes after an Egg McMuffin. I won't see that after a nice U.S. food plate. So the first thing everybody can do, look up the U.S. food plate. mimic that, and then they can move forward from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, those are some good things. You also have noted that other things that affect the cardiovascular pathways or cardiovascular health, some of it is fitness RX, some of it's emotional RX. Well, I guess that would be considered overstress. Please make a few comments on the fitness aspect and the emotional aspect of what your program is.
Yeah, the fitness aspects have really changed because there's nobody who's stopped emphasizing getting in your run or getting in your biking or your swimming or even yoga. But we've also learned now that something as simple as standing. I mean, almost every listener can build more standing into their day. They can take a phone call standing. They can do a meeting standing. They can listen to a lecture or an online educational program standing. And the relationship between the number of minutes a day you stand versus sitting extends your life and reduces disease. It may only be a few calories a day, but day after day after day after day, it improves your fitness. So we've changed to say 30 minutes in the gym and 23 hours sitting on your rear end doesn't cut it. You got to get yourself up and move and fidget and do a little stretching at least once an hour for 5 minutes at your desk. And in terms of mental health, the roots that we're not very well prepared to deal with in chronic medical situations like busy offices is the root cause of stress, financial stress, emotional stress, poor sleep. Holy moly. Who sleeps well anymore? You know, being employees that are on 24/7 because their cell phone connects into the office nonstop. And a strategy to deal with stress, usually a breathing strategy, usually some kind of, whether it's a 2-minute meditation or a 10-minute meditation, sometime when you turn your phone and your computer and your iPad off for a few minutes and enjoy nature, you have to learn how to chill out a bit. Our cortisol level down, bring our adrenaline down, and you'll often see improvements in weight, improvements in blood pressure, because the root cause, we're not deficient in medications, we're deficient in techniques. So we all got stress, but you got to learn how to breathe through it, smile a little, and don't sweat the small stuff or the big stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I can imagine, especially in your environment where there's seems like there's emergencies come out of the woodwork to be able to balance that out. I remember we had Dr. Edward Smith at one of our events a long time ago. He was classically trained at Johns Hopkins, but then he started to meditate. He found that everything just went. His blood pressure went down, stress went down, the whole thing. Then he eventually got into Ayurvedic medicine, but definitely yeah. There's a lot of scientific studies now that show that just being quiet, like you said, turning off the cell phone, turning off all the electronic stuff. And I think today's society, we're inundated by this. I know one doctor here in Cleveland, he and his family, they have, I think it was like 10 devices that between laptops and tablets and Wiis, and just I think it's just gone off the charts, gone off the deep end with electronic stuff.
Yeah, it's both the amount of time and emotional investment that creates and stress. And I'm concerned it's not proven that all that electromagnetic frequency, all those things we can't see zipping around our environment that didn't exist 50, 60 years ago, may have an impact. We're studying that.
Yeah.
And it's still kind of in the new age era to talk about cell phones and microwaves and Wi-Fi everywhere being a health issue. But we're energy fields ourselves. If human beings create an energy field, those are energy fields. To think that it couldn't be possible that constant exposure to EMF, electromagnetic frequency, has an impact. It clearly seems to be that some people are very sensitive to it, and they need to chill out emotionally.
Yes. Okay. Well, we're coming to the near the end of our today's session. We really appreciate your time coming on. Please give the listener just a quick capsule of your research, what's different about it, and just some, again, how would people get a hold of your book or contact you?
Thank you. So the Whole Heart Solution There's a website, wholeheartsolution.com, or just go to the booksellers. It's available and shipping right away. But what's different is there's a very ancient and famous statement that food is medicine. It goes back to Hippocrates 2,500 years ago. I believe that with every cell in my body. But it isn't the only medicine. You mentioned fitness, movement is medicine, stress management is medicine, emotional health and love and relationships and sexual therapy is medicine. Some supplements are medicine. Joy, even a pet, hugging a pet, and they extend your life 10 years is medicine. So my book has more than 6 dozen health prescriptions that are very broad, from food to fitness to emotional and environmental, plastic exposures, and we talk about electronic exposure. So I think people will enjoy that there's absolutely one or two or three of them they can start today that will start to make a difference for their health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's excellent. Well, I encourage everybody to get Dr. Khan's book, and really, again, appreciate your time this afternoon, Dr. Khan. We'll send you a copy. We're going to have your article in the next issue of Healthy Referral paper we started back in 89. About holistic health, and we'll send you a current issue, but then the one after that, we'll have some of your articles in there. So, we appreciate taking the time out to do this research, and also we compliment you on some of the new information you have that some of the other books in your genre that, kind of didn't touch on. So we compliment you on that.
Well, I appreciate the time, and you've done a great job exposing the public to some easy steps. Thank you, sir.
Okay, very good. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Again, we've been just finished talking with Dr. Joel Khan, Wayne State University. His book's The Whole Heart Solution. You can look up Dr. Joel Khan, and we appreciate him and his taking the time in NISA to set this up today, and look forward to next week. Again, this is Tom, Healthy Referral Newspaper, and we're going to be listening to Humble G again and signing off. Our website is healthyreferral.com. We also have jadensgaga.com, which is some of the best digital content that we've seen over the years. And we'll talk to you next time. You could also email us at info@healthyreferral.com. Any questions, suggestions, referrals, etc. That's info@healthyreferral.com. And we'll say goodbye. And I'm substituting today for our regular host, Marcia, who is engaged with other activities promoting the vision of holistic health and positive news. Thanks again. Yeah.
Thank you.